Welcome to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec and DLT Solutions on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer, and Soraya Kuria, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Procurement Officer. This has been a long time coming, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to be here, Jason.
All right, let's start with some basics. You guys are working incredibly closely together to improve, to really change the way DHS does procurement, does IT procurement specifically. So that's what I want to start with. And I'm going to turn to Luke first and just talk about some of the changes you've been ushering through over the last maybe 6-9 months to improve the procurement of IT at Homeland Security.
Probably the best way to frame it is we're embarking in what we're calling sort of a next generation of activity in regards to how we deliver primarily business systems. And that consists of really looking at different techniques, more modern techniques using things like agile and open source and continuous delivery capabilities. In order to do that, we need to have ready access to a variety of technologies, cloud technologies, software development technologies, security technologies, and this is where the close partnership with the procurement organization comes in into the fold. The ability to have access, real-time access to these types of emerging technologies is very important to us. And so the partnership and the close partnership and the variety of techniques that we're using to do that are really important.
So let me turn to Soraya. You're playing a huge role in this. You're an equal partner. Give me a sense from your perspective. What's this mean when you hear Luke talk about these things? What's this mean for the chief procurement officer?
So from a chief procurement officer's standpoint, it means that our team has to be ready to respond to these requirements. We have to understand the requirements. We have to understand the timing, when these things are needed, and how do we best acquire these technologies and these and put these in place, these new contract vehicles. And so one of the things that I started as soon as I came on board based on discussions with Luke and looking at the Unity of Effort initiative that the Secretary has is Acquisition Innovations in Motion. And Acquisition Innovations in Motion, or AIM, is a set of integrated priorities that focus on being more innovative, a little more agile, if you will, on how we handle our procurements. It's about engaging a lot more with industry to better understand how industry delivers these solutions, what solutions are out there, and how we can best approach our buying of those solutions. Part of my Acquisition Innovations in Motion program is what I call the PIL, the Procurement Innovation Lab. And the Procurement Innovation Lab is really a virtual lab where contracting officers, program managers within DHS can bring us ideas on how we can streamline and improve the acquisition process, kind of trying new ways to evaluate proposals, how to structure our contracts, and even how to price them. And we do get industry input and we work together. So my goal is to make sure that we improve the conversation between procurement and our IT partners, but all of our partners that we buy for, to make sure that we understand the requirement, we understand what the need is, and help them talk to industry about these needs and better structure our procurements.
I know we spoke last summer about the PIL. I definitely want to go down that path. Before we go down there, what you're calling for, what you're both talking about here, the change is a pretty big change, and you're not talking about it as a small agency. With all due respect to our friends at small agencies, I mean, DHS is the largest civilian agency. You have procurement budget, I think it was like $18 billion last year. When you look at it across, the biggest part was IT, which is where Luke comes in. So how do you do this across such a big agency? We always hear the term turning the battleship, but this is a mighty big battleship.
So you start with us. We're the leaders of our respective organizations. And when we partner together and our team see us partnering together, they start to better understand what we mean. So we have to push it down through our organization, but we have to be talking to each other constantly. Luke and I are leading several initiatives. We meet on a regular basis with our teams to discuss the acquisitions we have in process. When we're strategizing what we think we want to buy or what conceptually we're thinking about doing, we're bringing in CIOs and HCAs together to have this conversation. So that's how you start, you know, and yeah, it's not going to happen overnight, but if we can start this conversation as the two leaders, as we have done over the last year, then you're going to see that permeating throughout the organization.
It definitely starts with the leadership, and like a lot of things we do at the department or anywhere, we start with, you know, these ideas, right? And we're adopting a lot of best practices from the private sector, things that we've learned internally within the federal service, and we bring that all to bear, in this case in the form of some pilots. And so what we had decided to do is, look, we want to use these modern techniques on how we deliver these services. We know that in order to do this, a lot of these capabilities, we need sort of real-time, on-demand type of services, cloud services, again, software development services, security technologies, et cetera. That's where this close partnership, as I was saying earlier, is very important. But we're piloting these things. So we're taking five business systems across the department in various components, one in verification in CIS, flood insurance in FEMA, grants management in FEMA, SEVIS over in ICE, and we're piloting all those together. They're in various stages, and based on those stages, you know, there's various types of procurement activities that need to happen for goods and services. And so through those pilots, and we learn, right? We learn how to implement, we learn how to acquire, we learn how to govern, we learn how to deliver. And this is all about focusing on the operator and delivering these services to our operating components.
Take us to the next level in terms of one or two of those pilots, in terms of what they entail. When you talk about doing them separately, we know, for instance, Mark Schwartz at Citizenship and Immigration Service talks a lot about agile or iterative development. Yeah. Are these all around that agile concept, or is it around something else? Give me a sense. Pick one and delve in.
We always consider CIS in particular to be our early adopter, and we would call them almost an alpha stage, if you will, on some of these concepts. And we had the great advantage because a lot of the stuff that we were in alpha mode over there, they were in alpha mode. We were certainly facilitating that. Soraya used to be the chief procurement officer. Actually, she was over in verification, and she was over here as the head of contracting, became the chief procurement officer. And that really helped us considerably because the project that we're talking about is the project that she ran as the senior executive over there. So we got a twofer there. But yes, this is all about agile. Right. This is about continuous delivery. This is about modular capability. Right. These are the common best practices that are available that we have all learned that are tried and true in the private sector. A lot of success in the public sector. And we're trying to take the best of all that and bring that together and then harden that capability. Right. We want this to be a common practice, an institutionalized practice, but we recognize, yes, this is a very large organization. There's a lot of things we need to think about. Not only do we need to think about, we got to have proper testing and proper security, but we have to have the right proper oversight capabilities in place. As the boss likes to call that, sort of threading the needle. We want speed, right, because we want to deliver that functionality to the operator. We want to do that sooner rather than later, but we want to make sure that all the checks and balances are in place at the same time. So, yes, this is very much about using these modern techniques and putting together this framework so that the ability to access these tools that you need to deliver these modern techniques, deliver using these modern techniques, are readily available, right? We want the barrier of the friction level to be very low for the components. And that's where the leadership at the department comes into play on the oversight, on the ability to acquire these goods and services very quickly, so that they can focus on delivering to the mission.
So Luke mentioned oversight. I definitely would go down that path because the risk aversion, as you know, Soraya, is one of the hardest. But before we do that, help me understand how you set up these programs, these pilots, to be agile, to be part of sprints. Imagine they're doing, you know, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, some short amount of sprint timing to deliver capabilities. How do you set up the procurement so they can deliver?
So structuring the contract is very dependent on how they want to order the work. And in fact, we've had several strategy sessions where we've actually gone into a room, and one of the concepts that I'm trying to apply is what I call the whiteboarding concept. Before we even start to write an acquisition plan or structure a contract, let's get in a room and understand what you're trying to buy, how it is sold by industry. How would industry do this? How does industry do this? How do they sell this product or service? And what makes the most sense given how you're going to use this product or service? So when we talk about agile development, there's multiple ways that we can structure a contract. And how we design that structure is going to be largely driven by the project itself, how that project wants to work. In other words, how they're going to place their orders, how they want to order that work, how they want to deliver the ultimate product or service. So what what I try to do is get a team of people in the room that consists of the users, if you will, the CIOs, myself, my folks, my small business folks, the lawyers, everybody in a room and say, let's whiteboard this concept. Let's look at all the options that are available to us. And when we talk about building the procurement, instead of focusing on how we structure the contract to make the buy, we go into the next step, which is, and how are you going to use this contract once it's awarded? That's critical. That is essential, because if I understand what the who, what, where, why, and how you're going to want to order, then I can structure that contract right in the first place, and we can have those intelligent discussions with industry. Another piece of that is, once we come up with our concept, it's going out and talking to industry. It's having that those industry days, if you will, where we really lay out our concept, our vision to industry, and get good feedback, so that by the time we go out with our procurement, we've probably taken care of most of the best practices out there. We've listened to industry and understood from them what they need to be able to meet our needs. So that's kind of the approach that we've been taking.
Just to add on to that, and by the way, this has been fantastic for us, because we start with the end first and work backwards as to what our needs are, right? And sort of the top line on our needs is, look, we need access, real-time access to these goods and services at a very rapid pace. We need good competition, right? That's what our open market is all about, so that as you know, there's different technologies emerge and become sort of industry leaders, we want to be able to get access to that type of technology quickly. We need to be able to consume it in a consume kind of way, right? In other words, you know, buy it by the slice, buy it by the drink type thing is very important to us. So the ability to sort of sample and prototype some of these technologies is very important to us. And as I said before, the flexibility to switch out when we need to switch out, because the technology is emerging, you know, sort of the way it's described is this Lego block sort of capability, where you're taking a lot of these open source type techniques and mashing them together to deliver these services. That's how a lot of modern business systems are being built today. And so it's very important to us to have the flexibility to be able to do that in a real-time manner.
We have to take a break. My guests are Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer, and Soraya Correa, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Procurement Officer.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec and DLT Solutions on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec and DLT Solutions. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. My guests today are Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer, and Soraya Correa, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Procurement Officer. So we have two similar, but really in some ways different paths. You have the procurement path, which has to deal with this idea of buying by the slice, buying by the drink, and then being flexible enough to say, okay, this two-week period is over. Now we're going to do a new task order. And on the other hand, you have the developers who move in a different type of pace and a different type of rhythm than maybe the contracting side. And then you have the money side, which is kind of where you guys, I guess, meet in the middle. So let me first start with Luke and ask a little bit about that development, that IT side. How big of a change is this from a way that the IT folks look at project program management?
I think it would certainly depend on the project. But I think, generally speaking, the way that we're approaching looking at what I'm calling sort of purpose-built business systems is different the way we did it before, for a variety of reasons. One is the technology allows us to do this now, right? You can acquire consumable technology, again, computing technology, whether it's a private cloud or a public cloud type capability, the software development that's available, software development services, the open source software that's available. All those techniques, all that technology allows you now to build in this kind of a manner, in this Lego block sort of agile capability, which does shrink your footprint. It also shrinks your time to market, right? And that's very important to us, right? A big part of what we're trying to do here is lower our time to market, and as it turns out, lower our costs tremendously, right? And so, yes, this is a big change to where from where, you know, I would say the federal service in general used to acquire and deliver services. And that's what the pilots are all about, so that we can learn how to do this properly. Again, thread that needle and make sure that we have the right balance as far as testing, security, oversight, as we pursue this capability. And what we've learned is, done right, you actually increase your security, you increase your testing capability, you increase your transparency in these areas. But it's a learned capability, hence why we're doing this in a pilot manner, so that we can all learn as a community how to do this and master these capabilities.
Sir, let me turn to you about the change for you guys as a procurement community as well, because again, you're used to doing, we've awarded a contract, and we're quote unquote done.
Well, I never felt that way.
Yeah, so never done, but.
Never done, no. No, I don't think what we do fundamentally has changed. What has changed is how we approach what we do. And I say that genuinely. The federal acquisition regulations are actually quite flexible if people stop tinkering with them. I have to throw that in. I don't want anybody changing it for me. But no, the federal acquisition regulations actually give us quite a bit of flexibility. What I think has happened to us over the years is that we've become a little bit more risk averse, and we're not always using all the authorities and all the flexibilities that are in there. And so what I'm trying to do is create an environment here at DHS in our procurement community that is a little less risk averse, that is willing to take the risks that are needed within certain boundaries, the risks that are needed to make sure that we can write some good, successful procurements and get them done in a timely manner. If I try to avoid all risks, then it's going to take forever to get it done. And there is no such thing as avoiding all risks. And I'll give you the classic example. I don't control protests. So what I tell people is, I don't care if people protest. I care if we win them. That's what I care about, right? Don't worry about it. Plan on getting in a protest and move on. What I'm trying to do is make sure that we use all the flexibilities available, and that our team, the procurement team, truly understands what it means when we talk about agile procurements, what it means when we talk about cloud computing, that they really understand how the industry delivers that product or service so that we can buy it more intelligently. So one of the things that we've been doing in my area is focusing not only on improving the buying process, but really educating our folks on the buying process. So as part of our PIL, we stood up what we call learning cafes, and we host a series of webinars that are based on things that we've learned through the PIL, as well as training our folks on how to use the digital services playbook, how to use the tech FAR, and to learn about best practices that are out there. And we have our events hosted by contracting officers who have actually done this work, or by program managers who have worked with our contracting officers to achieve these objectives. We have weekly webinars. The attendance is phenomenal, and the feedback is great from people, because we are having great discussions and looking at new ways of doing things. But it is about really understanding, fundamentally understanding what we're going to buy. We know the rules. We know the rules. I have probably some of the smartest contracting officers in the business here who can tell you exactly how to write a contract. We can write great contracts. What I need those contracts to do is not only be great, but be great for the service or technology that we're trying to buy.
The biggest challenge that I've heard about buying Agile is the money side. You get a pile of money at the beginning of the fiscal year, whenever the fiscal year actually begins, and you have to spend it. But if you're doing it in sprints, for instance, you're going to spend, you know, $100,000 for this sprint and $250,000 for the next sprint and then $80,000 for the next sprint, the money isn't always allocated that way, or you have to come up with, for instance, OMB, as we all know, the Exhibit 53s and 300s, come up with a way to say, how are you going to spend your money? Tell us 3 years in advance and don't be wrong. Yeah. And that's a challenge. How do you do that? How do you do that from a procurement perspective?
First of all, it's called planning. We got to sit down with the chief financial officer, they're a key player in this partnership, and with the program office to strategize how we're going to use that money and to identify how we're going to use that money. From a contracting standpoint, I have a lot of flexibilities on how I can obligate that money. By the way, I want to correct something you said. You said we get money at the beginning of the year. I haven't seen that happen too often. We're usually on continuing resolution.
I said whenever the year starts, I meant that, yeah. March, April, whenever.
I'm just teasing you. But my point is that if we can sit down, kind of like what Luke and I have been doing, where he gives me his vision and we sit down and kind of strategize, then we can plan out the money and how we're going to spend that money. And here's the deal. In reality, what OMB is really looking for is for us to give them a plan of how we're going to spend that money. And the more that we can coordinate between the three of us, the CFO, the CIO, the CPO, and this applies to any program or project, the better we can lay out that spend plan. And the contract financing options that are available are numerous. I can have options, I can obligate the money and not actually spend it right away. In other words, I can lock that in. So there's a lot of flexibility on what I can do on the contract side. It's more about how well we lay out our plan, because that's what OMB's looking for. If you tell me you're going to get something done in the first year, then did you get it done? And the better we work together, then the more likely that we're going to achieve that objective.
We have to take a break. My guests are Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer, and Soraya Correa, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Procurement Officer.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec and DLT Solutions on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec and DLT Solutions. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. My guests today are Luke McCormick, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer, and Soraya Correa, the Homeland Security Department's Chief Procurement Officer. We've talked a lot about your effort together, but I want to also touch upon, Luke, some of your top priorities outside of this agile approach, outside of changing. There's a lot to talk cloud. There's a lot to talk security, CDM. You guys are among the first to implement CDM in cyber. So let's just start with the basics. What are you, beyond this agile approach, what are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
The reason why we sort of highlighted this agile approach and more about, you know, a different way of delivering business systems is because it incorporates a lot of these other activities, you know, access to the cloud, et cetera. Certainly, though, beyond that, we continue to double down on security, right? Our focus is always to be the gold standard, and we try our very best to do that. And so there's a lot of work going on right now. We're partnering very closely with MPPD, as we always have, to be the early adopter of the various programs, one of them being CDM. We're off and running right now, and we're piloting the first piece of that in what we call the National Capital Area, which is typically how we roll out various different types of technologies. We'll get through that probably sometime in early May, and our focus and endpoint there is to have that fully implemented across the department by the end of this fiscal year. So that is going very well. And as we learn and experience different things, we give that feedback early to MPPD so that they can use that to roll into the other agencies that are off rolling that out. So that's an activity. We'll continue to strengthen our techniques in FITARA. We're going in a fast pace on that. And so we'll continue to roll out all the policies and structure and tactics across FITARA, and there's a lot of activity going on, not only in the CIO's area, but across the CXO community, right? There's some CFO pieces of that, there's some procurement pieces of that, et cetera. So we'll spend a lot of time in that activity. And we'll continue to work with the oversight folks, including our own organization, PARM, on looking at ways to lean up, if you will, our oversight capability and continue to be in a consultative manner that's working very well so that we can be as light touch, if you will, in regards to our oversight techniques there, but also be very effective at the same time.
You also have been going down the path for a while of cloud data center consolidation. I know you're down to two, and you're looking at recompeting that. And then mobility, there was a little bit of news just recently. Your chief privacy officer, the other CPO for Soraya, put out kind of a memo, a policy regarding the car wash. Can you touch upon each of those areas as well?
Yeah, and one that I didn't touch on earlier and should have is human capital, right? This is an area that we continue to focus attention on, acquiring the right skills at the right time. So we're working very closely with our chief human capital officer. As we look and embark into these new techniques, we need to bring in different types of skill sets a lot of times, so we're working very closely with them. On the car wash, yes, we now have a requirement that you will wash your applications through the car wash, and that's working very well. That's a well-known capability that's now available across the agency, and we're very proud of that. And so there's a lot of activity going on in that area. We recently, partnering very closely with Soraya Shah, have restructured our contracts in the data centers. That's allowing us to have this consumption-based capability, which is very important to us, right, to sort of buy it by the drink. And that's the first step into this open source, sort of open model, open market, as I like to call it, capability, where we will use our private cloud services when that makes sense, And we will also get access to the public cloud services, Fatara and FISMA-based, you know, using FedRAMP. And we'll have a hybrid configuration, which, quite frankly, I think pretty much every agency will end up in some sort of a hybrid configuration. And what we're trying to do is lay a framework down so that when it makes sense to use our private cloud services, they're there available, they're economically viable, and you have ready access to it. And, of course, they're hardened with all the things that you would expect in our private cloud capability. You also have the same sort of capability in the public cloud for when it makes sense to hybrid into that public cloud service, that'll be available to you again.
So, Ryan, let me turn to you. Luke mentioned the new procurement model, if you will, for cloud. Talk a little bit about that and what does that mean from your perspective?
The answer is what we're doing is looking at how we structure our contracts to make sure that we're putting the right pricing structure, the right ordering structure in place. Again, I want to emphasize that in the past, I think, and in most procurement organizations, we tend to focus on the buy. And sometimes when we're thinking about the buy, we're not really thinking about how they're going to use that buy, how our program officers and our CIOs are really going to use that buy. So I'm trying to bring that kind of a discussion up front so that when we're structuring the contract, we're constantly thinking about how does this make sense? How are they going to be able to order it? How are they going to put funding on this? So that we design the contract around that and that we help industry understand how that's going to work. Because, by the way, a lot of what we do from a financing standpoint driven by how industry prices things out there. So if we better understand how the industry looks at this world, how they do this kind of work for themselves. Like I always tell the large companies, I know you buy this stuff for yourself. Come share with us your lessons learned. So we're really looking at what industry has done, what other agencies have done, and more focused on, let's look at the total solution, cradle to grave. How are we going to use this product or service? How do we best price it? What are your financing mechanisms, Mr. CIO? You know, how are you going to get your money for this? And then, of course, bringing in the right folks to help us look at how we take care of the oversight piece to hopefully avoid that concern with risk. It's good to take risks as long as you've thought about what those risks are, you've considered how you're going to mitigate those risks should some of these events happen. But we can't be afraid to take chances. Our mission calls for that. So that's kind of where we're headed. I hope that answered your question.
One of the things about this conversation is industry and the role they play. We didn't get a chance to talk in great detail about the reverse industry days. I think that's it's a novel concept. I've heard very good things about it. So let's just, as kind of the last question of our interview, though I know we could talk a lot longer, let me ask each of you, from a vendor perspective, what should they know about working with your offices? Huge budgets. I'll tell you, every time you know I talk to someone, they always want to know, what's DHS doing? So you guys hear this probably more than I do, but talk a little bit about what's your message to vendors?
The reason I did a reverse industry day was... I came in with this concept of reverse industry day because I really wanted us, the DHS community, to understand what industry wants to know, what they need to know, how do they get information, and what they do with this information, how do they use it to plan on what they're going to compete for or not compete for. So the purpose of Reverse Industry Day was really to understand industry's processes and how they think. And I applaud the industry representatives that participated in that because they were very open, very transparent about their processes, and really helped us understand what they're doing. And it was so successful that we're actually going to do it again. And we're also looking at incorporating aspects of Reverse Industry Day as part of our regular training for our program and procurement personnel. That's how well it went. But what I will say is industry is a critical part of this. It's part of the partnership. You know, when we enter into a contract with a company, they become a partner in delivering this mission and delivering the products and services that we need. So it is really important for them to be as open and honest with us as we need to be with them. So one of the things that we're trying to do is promote more of the strategic conversations with industry. If you'll recall, last February, we had what we called a strategic industry conversation. We're trying to do more of that. A lot of the events that I'm hosting are about talking to industry conceptually. Here's where we're trying to go as a department. Here is how we're approaching certain program areas. So we had a biometrics industry day where we talked about the biometrics program and where the agency is trying to go. And then the other thing that I'm trying to host are events where we better understand how we do our business, better understand why we do the things that we do the way we do them, understand our procurement processes, understand our oversight processes, and understand from industry their perspective. So if we keep having these strategic level conversations, we're going to better understand each other. And when we get to the specific procurement actions, those questions are off the table and we can better, more effectively communicate. The other thing, the message that I want to send across to both industry and government, it's okay to talk to industry. I can talk to industry anytime I want to about anything that I need to talk about, as long as I don't give a particular company an unfair competitive advantage. That's what the real rules of engagement are. So by leading in that way and having these conversations and promoting these types of conversations, I think we get smarter, we get a lot better, and we are more effective in doing our acquisitions.
And Luke.
Boy, I couldn't have said that better myself, and I can't say to anyone that listens to this article that the reverse industry day concept I thought was brilliant. When Soraya described the idea that she had, it sounded like a great idea, but boy, when I was there and sort of living it, realized how important this is and how powerful it was. And so hence is why we're going to do another industry day, and I would encourage every agency to consider that. We learned a lot. When we have these macro sort of strategic type of discussions with our industry partners, and I underscore partners, we learn from each other, and there isn't one particular procurement on the table, so we can have these open types of dialogues and understand sort of the things that we do and don't do that signal certain things or don't signal things that, you know, may or may not be important to us, so to speak, to us or to them. So it's a very important that we have those open and candid dialogues. The message I want to get to the vendor community is, look, we're transforming the way we operate. Generally speaking, when we can consume a service in one form or another, whether that's a cloud service, a software as a service, you know, a financial system, a mail system, et cetera, we want to be able to do that, right? That makes perfect sense to us, so that we can focus our attention on up the value chain, right? We know that these vendors know how to do this well, and we don't want to have to try to system engineer and cobble that together and compete with them. If they can package that up and sell it to us as a fully integrated service, we want to take advantage of that. And hence why we want this flexibility, so that when that materializes and that type of commodity becomes a commodity or starts to mature, we want to immediately take advantage of that and buy that as a service, consume it, and continue to focus on the, again, up the value chain, which is really specifically what that operator needs to do their job.
All right. I know we could talk a lot longer. This has been fascinating, and I've learned so much. So I'd like to thank you both for your time. Luke McCormick is the Homeland Security Department's Chief Information Officer. Soraya Crea is the Homeland Security Department's Chief Procurement Officer. Luke, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
Soraya, thank you.
Same here, Jason. It's good to see you. Thank you.
We're going to continue our conversation with Luke and Soraya on April 27th at 10 a.m. when they join us for an online chat on federalnewsradio.com. You can sign up today on our website.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec and DLT Solutions. The entire show is available on demand on federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask CIO.